Hi everyone, my name is Victor.
Hi, and I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Katya, and together we are the Grin Marketing Team. Between the three of us, we have expertise across all of digital marketing, which includes, but isn't limited to, SEO, social media, influencer marketing, paid media, content and email marketing, just to name a few areas. And with the digital landscape changing every day, our goal is always to stay on top of the trends. And we love talking marketing. Just ask us, we'll tell you. We are back wrapping up the chat that we had with Taylor and Lauren from Organifi, brands working remote, talking influencers, talking about their influencer marketing program, pre and post-Grin. The Organifi webinar covered from the beginning where they pretty much opened the floodgates and let anyone and everyone in to becoming strategic with their program and honing in on identifying who their ideal influencers to partner with were. There were so many great points that they made and just points of discussion. We got a lot of great questions at the end of it, but I think that we can all agree that really the majority of this was about relationships and the authenticity of building those relationships and how that was really a game changer in their program. I think that a really good place to start a real great highlight is to talk about their influencer relationships. And I know, Jen, you had mentioned that there were some very specific things that they had discussed about how they treat their influencers.
First of all, it was a fantastic webinar. So much information. Organifi is killing it. I really gravitated toward their community focus and how instead of enlisting influencers, they recruited a team that was basically an extension of their brand and really focused on making it a community. And that was one of the things I really appreciated. It was almost like they had built their own little social network, almost like their own little Facebook, where they had all their influencers on this community platform that were engaging with not just the brand, but with one another. And there was communication across the board. There was strategy sharing. And one of the fun things that I really liked is that they would send newsletters to their ambassadors, which I just thought was amazing because a lot of brands don't think to keep ambassadors up to date with everything that's going on with the brand. I really appreciated their focus on community.
I really enjoyed that piece. I thought that their focus on community was something we would all agree is super important. Building that relationship, maintaining that relationship, sustaining the relationship, we can all agree that that is one of the things that we like to stress. Something else that I thought was very, very interesting as well was that they focused on building their influencer program based on their customer, that persona. Most brands, in my opinion, start from, let's build out an influencer marketing program based on our brand and how our brand identifies, versus saying, we have this customer, we know who you are, we want you to feel as if the people that we are trying to connect you with also identify with you, or you identify with them, and then they build out their influencer marketing program.
It was definitely a cool highlight, and they definitely structure it very differently. I know that one of the things that I believe Lauren had mentioned, to your point, Victor, was that they look at their current customers to find their ideal customers, which is one of the most strategic ways to do that. Reach out and look at who's already loving and purchasing your stuff, who's already living that lifestyle that your brand says, working your way out and up to find those ideals. The way that they revamped their program to me was just phenomenal. There was definitely the relationship portion of it, but before they even got to the relationship portion, it was really identifying that there was a flaw in their influencer program to begin with. They were very unique in the sense that they had a program in place, they were using another platform aside from Grin, and it was working in the sense that they had, gosh, Jen, I don't remember what that number was, but I want to say it was like in the thousands.
Over 1,000 influencers.
Yeah. And then when they revamped their program, and when we asked them about that process, how many of those 1,000 did you upload into Grin? It was like something like 10 or 12, and they call them like the OGs. They're definitely the original true ambassadors that they stick with, and learning to identify who their ideal customer is and then finding the influencer that fits that, to your point, Victor, is really what I think has helped them be successful and then continuing to really create that community. And I particularly liked all of the things that they did. I believe that you mentioned the newsletter, but they also put together monthly webinars for their influencers. They have specific social media groups for their influencers. They dedicate time to engage with the influencers that they have. The fact that they spend so much time on building the relationships was phenomenal. I think that at one point in the webinar, I was like, that sounds like it's very time consuming. And they both definitely nodded in complete agreement with that, but they're still able to do that. And I want to say they have 400 plus influencers.
We've talked about this before, kind of the difference between an influencer and an ambassador. And they don't necessarily refer to their influencers as influencers. It's their ambassadors, their brand ambassadors, and it's their ambassador community. And they even called it an intimate community feel is what they were going for. And I think it would be interesting for us to talk about what the difference between an influencer and ambassador is in regards to Organifi. You said, Victor, they found people that already loved the brand and then grew from there. A lot of people, when they think of influencers, they think of, hey, let's find somebody with a following and see if they'll like our product. But instead, they went the reverse route, found people that already loved the product, were already using the product, and were already talking about it, and then asked them to join the fold. And instead of hiring them as a contractor or however else you look at an influencer, they brought them in as a family and as a part of the company.
It really goes back to how they foster their relationship. Having a brand ambassador, you're able to do that a little bit more because the word influencer has become very tainted in a way. It's become exchange for something. So you're doing it based on an exchange. It's not necessarily a relationship built currency, if you will. Having a brand ambassador, having that program, there is a little more emphasis that's placed on, if you're going to be a brand ambassador, you need to champion our brand. And we want to know that you authentically love our brand, that you're going to stand behind our brand, you're going to speak highly of our brand, but then you're also going to tell the truth about our brand as well. That is something that makes Organifi stand out. They focused on their customer and then finding ambassadors that identify with the customer base. And they were already using their products. They were already there in the fold.
I think the way Organifi looks at their ambassadors is a little more 24/7. Their ambassadors aren't necessarily repping other brands. It's the community and it's a 24/7. They live, eat, breathe Organifi.
I really love the community feel. One of the other things I heard some organizations do is that when you join a certain team, they'll name the team that you're on. Whenever someone has that mindset of going into something, creating a community, building that community feel, I think it just happens organically. Organifi saying, we have this community of brand ambassadors. They called them something.
The collective.
The collective.
And they also really talked about their relationships with the influencers. But when asked what success means to them, how can they determine whether their influencer marketing program was successful? They couldn't clearly define it even by a dollar amount. It was almost as if the ROI of revenue was this collateral incentive of really establishing those deep relationships. Because initially to start, they found influencers based on their customers and they grew out there. But then as they started developing their program as well, they wanted to align with those people who would love their brand. What they essentially would do is they would send out product just so they can introduce their brand. And then once they were bought into their brand, then they would become part of the collective fold. Not before that. That's where a lot of different brands do things differently. They send it out to the masses. Okay, I'm going to start this campaign. It's going to be 200 people. I'm going to send it out. I'm going to get 200 posts, which may not necessarily be wrong, but I think that for Organifi to be as successful as they have been, they've really focused so much on their brand and the way they introduce their brand to potential influencers.
I think that speaks to the confidence of a brand as well. Like when you are going to use influencers and brand ambassadors or even key opinion leaders, you need to have that confidence in your brand where you can give it to someone for free without expecting anything in return and just know that they're going to love your product that much that they'll come to you. You know, it's that confidence in your brand and your mission and your vision and what you are offering. And Organifi, they saw huge success doing that.
It's acknowledging the people who are going to love your brand and being okay if they don't. All brands can't be all things to all people. The fact that they're willing to go through that process, that's definitely key to their success. The other thing that I found really interesting was they didn't focus on one platform. We get a lot of questions of, should I just be Instagram? Should I just be YouTube? Should I just focus on Facebook, TikTok, whatnot? And what type of influencer should I focus on? And they removed all of those have to or I should be sort of instances that a lot of people, when they're starting their influencer marketing programs, really feel like they have to stay in these boxes. They were so open to receiving anyone from any sort of type. And if they started down the rabbit hole of Instagram, but saw that really the engagement came from YouTube or Facebook, that's the route that they took them on. So it's definitely not constraining. What silo should I put someone in, or should I put someone in one?
I know when I first got into the world of social media, I was the type to say, I'm going to start on one platform and I'm going to test this platform and I'm going to build this one platform. And now with the landscape changing, I would never recommend doing all of them at one time. You should put feelers out at least 3 or 4 and see what happens. Engagement looks different across a certain platform depending upon what it is that you're doing. I really love the fact that they did not silo their influencers. I think it's also a testament to the power of social media. When I think about YouTube, someone that's doing a review, that's going to be very different than someone doing a haul on Twitter. You're going to be able to see the product, the movement of the product. Maybe they're doing a tutorial with that product. So you're really getting into what it is, what it can do for you. You're seeing how other people are using it versus the Twitter. When you think about it in that sense, how an influencer is setting themselves up in regards to where their engagement comes from, it's really important to keep those tidbits in mind. Instagram now having video, a lot of bigger influencers that were first on Vine, then they moved to Instagram. And now they're doing IG. When IG introduced stories, you saw a lot of them segue from IG stories to creating YouTube channels. And there's a reason for that, because more people started responding to visuals on IG. And so the natural progression was, well, let me create videos where people can see and get engaged with me further. The way that social media is now working, things just kind of blossom organically, but then also taking that same mindset and applying it to your program.
They were also able to really find their sweet spot by doing that, exploring the different channels. And at the end of the Q&A, we asked, are there any channels that you want to explore? And they're like, we've found our sweet spot, Instagram. And they don't necessarily shun any channels out, but they're like, we know where we kill it and we know what's working because we did explore across all the channels, put the feelers out there and not shut anything down. They were able to find that sweet spot with Instagram. To segue into one more thing, they had an application process for their influencers. They were having so many people come to them wanting to be a part of the Organifi team that a way for them to vet all of the people that wanted to join and make sure that they were on brand and would be a good fit is that they actually put an application process together.
What that says to me is that you're open to finding anyone who represents your brand well. You're going to be looking for engagement. You're going to be looking for follower count. The idea of them also allowing anyone to say, hey, I think that I'm on brand with you, let me show you, is really impactful. And I feel a lot of brands should do that. While we have automated tools and things to help us, you may not capture everyone. Allowing them to come and say like, hey, I think I would be really great for your program, and here's why, and here's how my followers respond to you. Having that application process helps them do that.
Especially as their team has grown, having the application process be within Grin has been really helpful, because if it was the three of us, for instance, running an influencer marketing program and you were DMing someone and Jen, you were DMing someone and I started to, we could all be talking to the same person. So the fact that we can all send one link, it goes into one bucket and we can all manage it that way to truly vet that person out, because they do have a pretty extensive vetting process too. I mean, everybody that they're going to
to get on board, they have a 10-minute phone call with. That goes back to the relationship part. They really put in the work from the very beginning to really make sure that they get the people that align with them. And whether that's through their vetting process to the URL, through a newsletter, they really spend a lot of time just building that community and creating an environment that really speaks their brand name, that carries on into their program. And that's why they see success. It is probably one of the coolest aspects. And it's an undercover thing. Like, I wouldn't have even thought of creating a landing page URL so that I can put it on my highlights. I can put it on my website. My team can all send out the same one. Or we can have individual ones because we're obsessed with tracking, right? I can have a landing page for each one of us on our team, and we can track who's bringing in those influencers. What's nice is using the superpower of Grin allows them to just kind of peek into the platforms.
We had addressed how they had gone from one platform to Grin, and the differentiator for them was that they wanted a management tool, not a marketplace. And that kind of leans in on that they didn't want this marketplace of anybody can opt in and call themselves an influencer. And there's this just kind of disconnect between the ambassadors and the brand. They wanted a management tool. So they wanted a software that they could use to manage their existing relationships, because they already had an idea in their plan on how to build those relationships. They already had a strategy and it was working, and they knew exactly what they were looking for relationship-wise and community-wise. They just needed the tool to build it.
So in the end, I would say that Organifi is incredibly successful because of the way that they approach influencer marketing to begin with. They think about their brands, they think about their customers, they think about their influencers, and they strive to build a community, not just an influencer marketing program.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. Be sure to join us next week when we continue our conversation on things influencer marketing. Make sure you head to our website, grin.co, and check out all of our fireside chats. The next chat is with Liquid IV on May 28th. Be sure to check it out.
Peace. Thank you.
Bye.
Now too much.